All right. Good afternoon, everyone. And if I may, let's call the board meeting to order at about 5:32. As always, we do have enough for a quorum. Let me make sure I know who's on Zoom. So I've got Hans, you're there, right?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding. Verity?
I'm here, Scott.
Wonderful. Dave McGuigan? Yes, bonsoir. And I think I've been told we have someone else that's on Len. Zoom.
It's Len.
Oh, it's Len?
Come on, it's Len. It's under my daughter's name.
Okay, so Len, this is the last time. It better be Lieutenant Colonel Savannah, okay? Very funny. We were all guessing. Okay, it's got to be Hans. No, it's not Hans. Is it Dave? Can't be Dave. We didn't come up with you. All right, we've got a quorum. Len, good to hear you, my friend. As always, folks, let us start with a moment of silence, please. Very well, thank you. The agenda and minutes have been presented and submitted to y'all for consideration. And with that, do I have approval of the agenda as presented?
Motion.
I got a motion. Do I got a second?
Second.
I got a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Yep, passed. All right, agenda. We will be doing an executive session on a bunch of our teachers and folks that Pat has recently hired, so we're going to be talking about that, but there will be an executive session added to that. We do have one special guest with us in the room, Ms. Hope, and with that, I'm going to turn it over to you and allow you to say a few words to everybody, and in fact, stop. You don't do that. We'll do it first. We're going to introduce ourselves to you, and then you can say a few words and all that. So I'm going to start over here.
First, I'll say one thing. Katie emailed us having issues with the Zoom link, Pat. So just make sure that's...
I'll email it.
Okay, great. So Hope, I'm Leslie Stapleford. I've been a board member for about 3 years. I have a son who graduated in 2020. And you know, the school just made such an impact on me and his life that I decided to join the board. I'm also a marketing director at Chase Bank of New Orleans, so I try to help with the marketing here of what we can do to get the school a little bit more culture in a good way. So nice to meet you and welcome aboard.
Thank you.
I'm Kevin Yenser. I'm in charge of facilities stuff here, construction things. I own a construction company, so it kind of fits right in with what I do. So.
Thank you. All right, Pat, yep. Jim.
We met.
Good.
At CBOC.
Yes.
But go Vikings, go Gophers.
All right, Hans, a word of introduction.
Hello, my name is Hans Riegel. I've been on the board for about 2 years. I'm an airline pilot and was a military pilot.
Yes, anything else?
Well, I'm happy to serve. So I work with Leslie on the fundraising committee, and we're hoping to raise some dollars for FSMA this fall.
Cool. Verity.
Hi there, I'm Verity Watson. I'm a lobbyist with Virginia Wilson. I'm in Scott's line of work. And I apologize for not being there because I am expecting at any moment.
Yes.
Yes.
How you feeling, Verity? Are you doing okay?
We're doing okay. She'll be here this week, so.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, Godspeed to that. All right, Colonel. Or should I say Savannah?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I wasn't sure with me. I'm Langer Terry. I serve in the Delaware National Guard as a legislative liaison for several years. I've been on the board 2 years, and I'm looking forward to meeting with you at some point. Thank you.
Great. And I think Dave?
Yes, sir. Dave McQuiggan. I'm your project manager on the maintenance facility and parking lot expansion.
Yep. And Dave has been with the school from really quite from the beginning. He was on the board in the early stages, decided to go retire, and we keep dragging him back on various projects and that sort of stuff. And he is, in essence, a contractor to the board for these the projects and all that sort of stuff, help us manage, which he does. So I think that's all of us and what have you. So please.
Well, thank you for those introductions. My name is Hope Pugamalira, and I'm coming most recently from Anoka-Hennepin, the largest school district in Minnesota. I was the assistant director of student services there. I wore several hats. I was the Abbott district director, Naviance district director. I was the 504 person for the district, and I also was over Educators Rising. I'm from Detroit, and I started teaching high school English in the Detroit Public Schools, and then I moved to Minnesota for the first time. I've worked in school districts across the country. I've been a school counselor for many years, guidance director, worked for the University of Texas. So I'm coming to you with a lot of experience, and I'm very excited to be here. I've known Pat since, 2016, so we've been talking about, you know, trying to get me here in a role or capacity, so it finally worked out, and after a four-day drive with my cat meowing all the way into Chicago, I finally made it here, and I'm enjoying my adjustment. I look forward to this school year and working with everyone. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad you are with us this afternoon and all the good stuff. And again, welcome for all of that. All right, guys, let's move on. Secretary's report. So you all should have gotten the minutes for 22 June. You didn't. See, you notice how I look, guys. I looked over here because she said I didn't get them, and I could have sworn I sent the minutes and the agenda. Did you get the agenda? How is it that I am not sending the minutes or the agenda? Somebody better remind me that I'm not sending those out.
That's what I apologize. I would gladly do it. I just didn't know.
I just thought I've got them. I'm looking right at them. So let's do this. We will hold approval of the 22 June minutes. I will send you both the minutes from this meeting and the 22 June minutes. So we'll end up doing both this and the 27 July at one time. We'll do that in August. Again, I apologize, guys. I keep thinking I've sent him, I've done him, and I guess what happens is I'm making him up. I do it, but I don't send him out.
I will remind you.
All right.
A week before, does that work?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll work.
Three or four times a week before.
Yes, maybe three or four times a week before. Very well. Item 3 on the agenda, public comment. Pat, anybody else on Zoom for public comment?
No. No one's. Katie's trying to get on. She's having difficulties.
All right.
The link's not working.
All right. Well, we'll get her on if she gets on. With that said, no one in the room for public comment. Public comment period is closed. All right. Big Jim, to you, sir, outside accounts.
Well, everybody should have gotten it this afternoon.
Yes, and I actually brought copies because you gave them to me at CBOC. I managed to get that right.
That I did, and I'm going blind here because I don't have my email up that I sent it off under, so I'm going to...
Well, there are copies over there.
I understand that, but, I'll grab the copies there. So the summary report shows the activity for the month of June. On the accounts, we started the month of June at $131,960 in the checking account and $75,517 in the savings account. During the month, we had two checks written from the checking account, one to Kemp's Tree Service and one to Mr. McGuigan. Those totals $18,217. The board savings account, we had 83 cents of interest, and we had the USDA withdrawals that came out on the 1st of June of $24,948. So as of June 30th, the combined balance of the accounts is $164,313.36. The subsequent pages show the bank statements for each of the accounts, including the two inactive, for lack of a better phrase, escrow accounts, and then the extract as of July 15th, I believe, that shows the activity through July 15th on the checking account and board savings account. So the USDA did come in on the 1st of July and took out another $24,948 off of there. In my possession, and will be going out, and since Mr. McGuigan is not here, I cannot personally hand him his check for his invoice from July 1, but I will be writing a check for July, three checks, one to Drain Kings, which is a net 30-day term, which is due on the 30th, so I'm following like a net 30-day process, so okay. Please understand that. I will write the one from McGuigan, and I will take care of the one that just came across the desk, fully approved for the pole barn, second phase of that,
right.
The second installment. So that's why I asked earlier this morning or yesterday whether that had been approved, because I did not see an approval document from you, Mr. Kidner.
Right. What?
So it did come through this afternoon, yeah. And I do not have a hard copy, but it'll be taken care of by tomorrow.
Well, and Corrine just, I think she just sent you.
Becker Morgan one as well.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right. Two questions real quick. The upload pack for the USDA is going to happen.
The check, I already approved it. We're waiting for it to get cut, and we have to go and pick it up.
Okay.
They'll make arrangements for to get it right to you.
So
it's already been in the system. We're waiting. We have to do a purchase order, so I have to wait for the state to approve it before then I can approve the voucher.
Got it.
We have sufficient funds in there to cover the withdrawal come August 1st.
Right.
So between now and August 25th, we need to drop in the next installment.
Okay, we're good. All right, cool.
So that was question number one. Question number two.
I can't think of it.
I'm glad I was able to answer your questions for you.
With that said, guys, anything from Zoom on Jim's report?
Negative.
Okay, cool.
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. Are we okay over here? You guys good?
Yep.
All right. Do I have a motion to accept the treasurer's report?
Nope.
I got a motion. I got a second in the room. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any abstentions? Seeing none. Okay, good. Thank you, guys. All right, very well. Continuing to move on, we are now to the finance report. That is you, Pat. We're going to be going to, I assume, the budget narrative and all that sort of stuff. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So this budget narrative is a financial report for ending month June, fiscal year 21. We're 100% through the fiscal year 21. Revenue, I'm not going to go over them in detail because they haven't changed since February. We have gotten all of our revenue this past fiscal year. Is there any questions on that? Expenditures, month of June we did spend more than we had anticipated, and I'm going to go down and break it down. As you can see, our transportation, student athletic travel, $70,000. Other expenditures, including purchase of educational consultants, instructional supplies, student support supplies, and all of their different things was $59,062. The reason for that increase, of course, was the $48,000 we spent on 120 new Chromebooks for our cadets this year. So that's one of the big upticks you see from that month. Chromebooks would usually come out of this upcoming, or the fiscal year we're currently in, we spent on a blast.
How many books did we get? 120?
120, that's correct. We had... We had 40 brand new Chromebooks left over from last year.
And are we still on the Chromebooks? Are we still allowing Providence Creek? And or are we selling or giving it to them? Or what are we doing with our old stuff? Some kids taking them, they're purchasing. A lot of our seniors did.
Correct. And ones that are old and their service agreements are done. I mean, we have a surplus. They came up and picked them up today, and they take them up to wherever they do with them and the old electronics.
Really? Yes. Okay. Was it the state that took them, or the guys?
State.
The state took them. Okay. All right. Cool.
Utilities was $6,994. IT professional services was $7,855. I want you to know that the reason that was doubled is because that's May and June. Construction related services, $3,497. Clothing and incidentals is $712. Food, $3,576. Athletic supplies, as you can see, was $14,211. Again, that is in preparation for our fall seasons, equipment that was bought. Student activities, you can see that was $9,690, a huge increase. That was due to prom and
graduation.
Course graduation. Yeah. Building and grounds, $5,000.
Hang on, Pat.
Yes.
Based on graduation, let me rephrase that. Have we gotten the graduation video or any of the stuff related to that? Didn't we shoot a video, or was there a video, and can we have it posted?
It's not posted.
It is not posted?
I posted it right after the event.
You did?
It's on. All the pictures and everything are on.
It's on there? Okay.
Yes, under news and announcements.
Okay.
Everything's there. Because I thought I did that.
Yeah, well, how come you didn't do that?
I'm like, I think Pat got that.
Stipends, $11,000, of course, increased. That's a big number. That's because when we give our employees stipends for activities during the year, usually they're broken up into like a December and June payment. And then all of our final payments for our spring coaches to come in, and that's why that number's up. Postage and promotional awards, $1,552. Again, that is sent our diplomas and mailed them out. DOE examinations, any testing we had through them, $1,183, and of course driver's ed, $377. So altogether, even though it was an increase of $40,000 over what we predicted, again, just the purchasing of the Chromebooks and some of the supplies, a lot of that is preparation for this year. So it's actually money we would have spent in fiscal year 22, we spent on 21. So that's where we're at expenditures. Is there any questions on that?
On sports equipment.
Yes.
Are we facing any of that sort of semi-annual or biannual helmet exchange and getting rid of a bunch of gear and having to purchase a bunch of new gear? Because I know football, and I think as well lacrosse and some of the other contact sports have this cycling of equipment.
No. Only because that, fortunately, I mean, I have experience in this, but when we bought our initial issue, Arles and I worked together, I said, look, every year you need to order brand new of a certain item, because we never wanted to be in a situation where we had to order a bunch of the items. So we're always ordering 5 or more or less than 10 new items every year. So it's a constant influx, and we won't have that issue. Plus, if we send our helmets out to reconditioning, any of them that they fail, then we tell the company just purchase a new one for that.
Okay.
And it comes automatic. So so we don't get hit with a big budget item. We plan ahead for that.
Cool.
Same with shoulder pads or anything else. And of course, our lacrosse helmets. We purchased the better lacrosse helmet, because the next step down had a 3-year life expectancy, which of course, coming in as a freshman or ninth grader, that doesn't work out too well, so we purchased the better helmet and it lasts all 4 years.
Super. All right, any questions on expenditures, guys, in the room, on Zoom, anything for y'all? All right, Pat, moving on, federal stuff.
Katie's home, by the way.
Oh, very well. Let me put her down. Hey, Katie.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Glad you're on.
I was just saying, I don't have any questions, but I am here. I'm sorry. I had some issues getting on the call.
Yep, no worries. All right, cool.
Hi.
Very well. Pat, moving on. Federal, ESSERs.
So, federal grant. Last year, total of $805,320. This includes our consolidated and of course, the other ESSER grants of $676,331, and with a remaining fiscal year 20 of $39,248. With our ESSER one of was broken down to $82,155. As you can see down below that, we have zero remaining. ESSER 2 of $322,571, we have zero remaining. And our Educational Relief Fund of $34,871, we have $36 remaining. We'll probably just lose that $36 because if we wanted to reuse it for something else, we have to do a waiver for it.
It's all right. I can understand if we were given $36,000 back, but $36,000, it's okay.
And the total remaining amount was $106,870 for the grants from last year. So we were able to expend them. And this does not even include our ESSER 3, which is in this year, which is $727,751.
All right, and last time we spoke about that, the ESSER 3 plan was approved by DOE, correct?
It is. We have the money.
All right.
So the outlook at the end of June fiscal year 21 was $2,090,875.
All right, very good, strong financial position, guys. Now, remember again, what is it, about 1.214 is the summer encumbrance. How much?
75 days cash.
75 days cash, which includes summer encumbrances. So you kind of back that out, and that gives you really a good picture then of where we are, which is still very strong. And quite frankly, it's going to be part of what's going to allow us to take care of the parking lot and a lot of that stuff.
By the way, that check, too, is also...
Which check?
At the same time as the mortgage.
Which?
150 for the parking lot.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. All right, thank you. All right, very well. Looking around the room, any additional questions or comments here? I think we're good on the screen. Anything there, guys, on the narrative financial report?
Negative.
Cool. All right. Moving on, Pat, let's talk about FY22.
Scott, the web report.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, web report. You guys know what the web report is. Everybody pull that out, take a quick gander at it. And as always, this will be published and put on the website. Any questions or comments on the web report as presented? Seeing none, do I have a motion to accept the web report?
Motion.
All right, I got a motion. Second, Kevin, thank you. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, abstentions, seeing none? All right, web report completed, thank you. We have two more items under this heading. First is the FY22 initial budget. Pat's just going to hit a couple of numbers, give you a sort of a snapshot of what's starting to happen there, and then I'll talk about CBOC.
So I included the, you know what, Scott, I don't know if I emailed this out.
What we're talking about, guys, is a two-page document. Pat shared it with us at the CBOC, but you're right, Pat. I don't know if this one... It did not come out. All right. Very well. I'm not the only one.
This is the 2021 one that you have.
I gave it at CBOC. I forgot.
Yep. Yeah. It's this one.
Sorry about that.
All right, so while Pat's doing that, basically, when we were at CBOC, and I might as well, I guess I can do CBOC report. Pat presented the FY21 sort of comparison to coming FY22, and I shouldn't say coming, we're in FY22 now. And he talks about the number of Division I units and how that number has changed. So when we were budgeting last year, we had a student total of about 441 that the budget was based on. Right now, this FY22 budget's 494. So it moves our Division I units up to from 31.77 from our last year to this year's 36.85. Obviously, guys, what that means is as you have more Division I units, that means you can start affording different teachers, support staff, and so on and so forth. And some of the folks that Pat and Hope have interviewed and spent time with the last number of weeks, some of their costs are now in the FY22 budget because of our student population having grown to what it is. I think that's a good position to be in. Pat, I don't know if you've sent it out, and if you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about it.
So I kind of, you know, I was always asking how are things looking for this year. So, you know, some main points, of course, as you can see, looking, comparing 21 to 22, for those of you who haven't pulled it up yet, I'll explain it. Student total for 21 was 441. Student total for 22 is 494, huge difference. So when you go down to the Division I units generated, of course, this is how we pay our teachers. You can, and last year was 31.77. This year is 36.85. So, and just to go down, of course, there's all these different sources that we get money from. But if you just go down to the grand total state sources, last year at this time, 85%, we get preloaded 85% of our 100% of our budget was 3.282,135, so 3.2 million. This year, 22, our 85% preload was 3.78. So you can just see the difference. You're talking about a difference of $500,000 based on our cadet count. Now, that will change as the September 30th count comes, and I can explain that in the Commandant's report, but we're always keeping an eye on our cadet count and how we're doing things because, you know, that's how we make it.
All right, very well.
And one key point to notice, if you have that in front of you, look at the cadet transportation amount. So as you know, we have always run a deficit. Well, as it is now, we are not increasing. We don't need another bus.
How'd that turn out?
Well, we'll find out. We should be in good shape.
Okay.
Some of our buses are running 35, 38, so, you know, we should have 11 buses should, you know, it's almost done, but it should work out. I don't think we can get a 12-bus team.
Okay.
And
you say we couldn't get a 12th bus because there aren't any drivers, contractors don't have it, they don't want to do it, that kind of stuff.
There's no drivers.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
So we're getting around $40,000 more, which is in a good place to be. So we're going to be almost breaking even, a little bit less, of course, but
right.
It won't be as big as deficit in the past. But the thing to note on that, we're in good shape. Right now, we are only one bus down with a driver. That driver is away. He doesn't know if he's coming back yet. He was going to leave at the end of last year. He decided not to. But the way our contractors work, they assign us particular drivers. And all but one are coming back. Which we are in much better shape than some of the district schools. So we're hoping that one driver comes back and we're going to be scrambling. Not scrambling, I think we'll be okay, but I don't know if you saw the press release that the Department of Education put out. they actually put a press release out on transportation. They're looking for drivers. Okay. They're getting ready to open up some schools and get these people trained. You know, one of the things we when this first came on, we decided to continue paying our drivers and our contractors all the way through. Ours have never, you know, they've always been paid as if we were working normally. So, and we always wanted this because we wanted this to, the return on it. Well, now's the time. We'll see. Hopefully it works out.
Yep.
So, Pat, where does the transportation eligible students number come from?
I do that.
Okay.
So I look on the map, and anybody living in town here, they're not eligible.
Yeah, I mean, that's in essence.
Sure, it's that simple, that's why.
Yep. Yeah, it's like 2 miles, 1.5 miles from the school center.
Again, and I, you know, it's 2 miles, but again, we have some kids that live in, you know, and they'll look at that and move. That's how we get our eligible number.
I know different schools are doing things like, hey, commit to bus riding, commit to parent drop off, commit to this type of transportation. I'm assuming maybe help with buses. I just didn't know if we've ever thought about that.
Too. That's because they're looking at it differently than we are. Uh-huh. So we're setting things up like a normal year, just like we did last year. What those schools are doing is because they know they're not going to get a number of buses, they're saying, okay, who needs transportation? They're going to get that number. Now they're going to make their routes based on the number and say yes. Problem with that is, what happens if 3 months down the road, something changes and that kid suddenly needs a bus? Or I'm not saying one, it could be many. I mean, you know, how many can commit to get doing that all year long? So it's a real dilemma we find ourselves in, but we're going to be in good shape. Again, it's scary in its own right because, hey, we're down a bus. We can't get kids to school. Okay, now what do we do? And so, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I think it'll be okay.
All right.
I do believe.
We've got a lot more drivers out here with this parking lot, so we'll be good.
Yeah, that's right.
We did put that out to the parents. Let them know so we can remove those kids from the routes that are going to be driving every day.
All right. Very well. Any other questions on sort of the preliminary budget for FY22, at least that funding stuff? And I know at our next CBOC meeting, we're going to be discussing in detail the actual budget and that sort of thing. We canceled the June, we held our July. As you guys know, we do the three, May, June, and July. We won't be back to CBOC till September and all that sort of stuff. I don't know, Jim, if you want to hit any highlights from CBOC.
No, I actually left my notes on my desk for that one, but Pat is consistent with the message that he delivered there as well as here, so that's why I didn't have any additional questions with the financial information.
Cool. All right, very well. And that's CBOC. I will tell you guys, I am still looking for maybe one or two other folks for CBOC. I think we're going to lose Renee Bailey. We haven't seen her in a couple of months.
Yeah.
And Pat, is her kid still a student here, or did he, Renee Bailey? That's a couple of years ago, huh?
He graduated in 2019.
19, a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I'm keeping up, sort of. I think we're going to lose her. So if you all happen to know of some names and on the Zoom that you think might be of interest to join us on CBOC, the Budget Committee. And I hope, I assume you know what I'm talking about. So in Delaware, one of the requirements for the charter schools is that you must have sort of a outside finance committee. It's made up of some folks from the school, but its intention is to gather business leaders and others from your local area to have another set of eyes, quite frankly, on your finance report and your finances, to try to make sure that, quite frankly, me as the chair in collusion with Pat aren't siphoning off money or somebody else on the board's stealing. And when you have these outside individuals, no connection to the school, no parent, none of that, just, hey, does it make sense, the numbers they're looking at? And that's what Citizens Budget Oversight Committee is what it's called.
And by the way, on the financial note, our audit starts on August 9th.
Yeah, and I just signed the engagement for Barbicane and Thornton. So that's back on. And I suspect we'll have that report sometime in the September-October time frame. All right, very well. Moving on, Commandant's report.
Okay, as I just mentioned in our preload, we had 494 cadets. I knew that was a high number for a May 1st count. We are sitting currently at 486. I met with another cadet today. I will tell you that we're losing one or two here or there, as happens. And so we are also bringing them in, one or two, because we have a number of cadet meetings tomorrow and in the next week. So I think there's seven total. And that's just, we're just trying to keep balance. Summer school is ending, and some of our families are withdrawing once they finish summer school. So we want to make sure that we're able to keep our enrollment around where it is now. My goal is always 485 to 490.
Got it.
And I do not want to have what happened to us last year. If you recall, we started the year with 468, 469. Our 30th count was moved from September 30th to November 13th and ended up hurting us. Because by the time we got to November 13th, we were sitting at 458. Which is what our count was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Any questions on that? I think, Pat, we probably will hit about 485, 490, it looks like, particularly if you've got still some more meetings. Who are the cadets or potential cadets? Where are they coming from in the sense that so late in the year, if you will? Upstate? All around?
Just everyone.
Okay.
It's a weird year. I'll just tell you right now, I'm talking to a lot of people, this is a very weird year. It's like the big migration.
Okay, big migration, like, in the state, big migration downstate, big migration, like, everyone's moving to all sorts of different places?
Well, just talking to some of the principals in Kent County, you know, as you can see, we hired a number of people. Talking to them, we're in a lot better place than they are. They're still struggling to even fill their positions. Hmm. And they have a lot more open than we do, and it's just, and it's finally gotten to the point where, you know, and I'll just say what it is, but they've known there was a teacher shortage. They've known that they've been pushing, and it's been happening for years. And I think if you read the News Journal, Brandywine School District, they're having a job fair Friday, because they have positions they can't fill. And that was the fear of the ESSER 3 money, because now some of these districts are getting, bigger districts are getting like $20 million. Now they're creating these positions. And what's happening is it pulls people out of the classroom.
Mm.
And now you're losing classroom teachers.
Oh.
Yes. That's what they feared. They said that was going to happen.
Hmm. I didn't think of it those terms.
So there's already been a shortage. Now it's a little bit worse. So everybody is feeling it. It's across the nation.
Interesting. I hadn't even thought of it like that. Okay. Very well. Moving on. Do you want to talk about all the hirings and at a separate piece and finish up that, and then we'll go to executive on that? Okay.
So just the events, let you know that Ms. Kubota, we had some PBL workshops going in, and our staff is paid to come in. That comes out of our Title II of our consolidated grant. They work for a week in building their projects. We call them snapshots, and it's like a curriculum snapshot of what they do in their toolkits or how they meet the standards in their classrooms. We're building towards that because in 2023 we go to renewal, and we have to have all that done. So that's what we're doing over the summer. We have our third one that's coming up in August 16th. Cadets, I had three cadets went out to flew out to Texas for the drill camp. Mass Sergeant Jordan was actually on vacation out there. Picked him up from the airport.
No, are you serious?
Yes.
Ha ha.
So and so they're back safely. This, you know, this past Sunday, Major McCombs drove eight of our cadets up to the Outdoor Odyssey Leadership Camp in Boswell, PA.
Yeah, yeah. How'd that go?
Good. As you can see, we have Caesar Rodney's van over there. We rented it from them. Very kind of them to work with us and help us out there. Good. They made a stop at Flight 93 Memorial. And
Shanksville.
It's very close. It's right there. And so we're there. I did put down the PSO recruitment drive. Melinda's been out of town. We haven't been able to connect. We were supposed to connect this week. I will connect with her Thursday, and I will send the email out to you guys. We wanted to do something on the Friday the 6th. I want to see if it might need to be moved. I haven't published it yet until I had everything down.
Yeah, that's what I have on my calendar.
Correct.
Here.
Correct. Okay. I haven't published it yet to the families because we haven't been able to get together and confirm everything. So,
okay.
If we have to, we'll push it off to the 13th because that's the end of the our summer orientation.
Correct.
Camp anyways.
All right. Now, I will tell you, though, then I am not here. On the 13th, the 12th through the 17th, dropping off the last one to that institution in South Carolina. So, all right.
So we got our senior leadership camp coming up in, August 5th, and then our summer orientation camp follows. There's the third PBL workshop that... have to do many thanks to Katie Kubota. She has really been, she's taken over our summer school and doing all that work with the workshops. And I feel bad because, you know, the summer school is bad enough, but, you know, when you think about it, you know, when DOE said, well, you can do a lot during the summer to make up for the school year, that's all fine and dandy if you were sitting at home during the school year. But remember, our staff wasn't.
Right.
So our staff is a lot of them working, a lot of extra, so we do appreciate that. And I wanted to extend that special thanks to her. And then, of course, you know, it seems like I can't believe it's here already. August 16th is the first day of fall sports. It's also the first day of our camps, our drill, raiders, and marksmanship. So there's going to be a lot of activity happening here on campus. Buses will be rolling, and we're back in business.
What's the first day of school?
26th of August. Miscellaneous. I'll just let you know about the telecommunications system. So, when it was purchased while the school was being built, everything's end of life. We had to extend it, the temporary license. Or our phone system would have stopped working. The cost is out of this world. Here's a dilemma I face, folks, and I need your guidance. So to replace what we already have is $44,000. To go to a cloud-based system is almost $50,000, only because you have to pay an $8,000 per year. Or I can replace the whole thing for under $40,000. But here's the thing. That's $25,000 worth of phones that are still good. That we have, that's $25,000 worth of equipment that is still in good shape and still workable that I have to either hand back. I don't know what you do with it because we paid it with federal dollars, so we can't resell it.
All right. So what's the, maybe the next question is for using the current equipment, retrofitting it, getting it back up, and so on and so forth, the $43,000, how long does it, what's the shelf life of that?
5 to 6 years.
Okay. The other option you were saying is we rip everything out, bring in all new equipment. That stuff is still, a lot of it's still good, but it, out it goes, all new equipment. What's the shelf life on the new equipment? About the same?
The phones are cheaper, about $300. The phones we have now are about, the average phone is $500. The ones in the offices probably about $800. They're still, you know, they're still at the point that they're the ones being used out there. They're not obsolete by any means. So that's the dilemma. But whatever decision we make, you got to keep in mind, we're kicking the can down the road that, well, someone else might have to make a decision with. So that's something to consider.
All right. Jim? What?
So a couple of questions. Is the telecom and the security were part of the
USDA.
The latest round of stuff that was out there that you talked about for that $750,000 component, yes?
I am putting it under that, correct.
Is this, are we landlined at this base, hardwired at this point, and the cloud is a voice over internet protocol type base? Or are we on voice over internet protocol now and going to something different?
No, we're voice over IP.
You're VoIP right now, and we're going to a cloud base.
That's one of the options we have. Just so we don't have to replace the servers in 5 years.
So the $44,000 to replace is the guts of the phone system. It's not the phones. It's the server, whatever it is. All this.
Yeah, it's the internals. It's not the hardware.
And licenses and all that stuff. Because that licenses was the kitchen. Because it's more expensive to do the cloud. But I guess the advantage down the road then is we don't have to worry about replacing servers at $20,000 6 years down the road. That's what I'm working out with the guy.
Well, I certainly, the thought of having to lose functionality on this hardware on a lot of these phones by ripping everything out and putting in new hardware and software just seems awful wasteful. However, to Jim's point that, well, is there with the vendor, are these hard numbers? Is there any more potential negotiation? Is there any possibility of the getting a better number from this vendor? And is there only one vendor that we've got to go to, or are there some others that might have a different price?
No, I have them out. I'm waiting for them to come back.
Okay.
How many phones do we have, Pat? 50? Well, 50.
So that's why it's $500 a phone. That's why. That's just a rough estimate. It's probably more than that. That's why it's $25,000 worth of hardware that is in good working condition. And the phones are nice phones. But the thing about it is the maintenance fees, licenses, are outrageous. It's like $1,000 just for 8 hours of labor.
All right. Thoughts in the room?
I would think if the whole new system is less money than revamping the old one, even though you're sending some back, that would probably be the better way to still go. You said the newer system is under 40 or just under.
Just looking online here, to replace the guts, it's $44,000 plus something, which I don't know offhand what the plus something is. Or you go to the cloud and you're making a $30,000 investment up front, and then I'm going to round here $9,000. So if you last 6 years, $44,000 over 6 years plus something for 6 years, or $30,000 up front plus $60,000. So, I mean, that's $90,000 there versus $44,000 plus something.
We don't know what the something is yet.
So So how about I get you more information? I send it out.
All right. Yeah, it sounds, but you're telling me it's almost $10K a year to have these phones cloud based.
No, I'm just looking at what he's got here. It looks like it's a $30,000 setup cost, and maybe new equipment, and then $8,000 to $10,000 per year in fees.
Correct.
All right. Say that maybe $9,000 split the difference. It's still $54,000, and the $30,000 up front is $84,000.
Yep. All right. We do know that the ESSER III monies, that's one of the things that we've targeted for use of that. The good news is that the ESSER III money is there and we can do this. I think Pat, well, let me go to the Zoom. Guys, any thoughts or comments about your initial ideas on this telecom system and spending money?
Right. We got into the wrong business,
Dad. Yeah. I think you're right, VW. I think you're right. All right, well, let's do this. Pat, I think you need to maybe set up plan A, plan B kind of thing when you get a couple of more quotes back. I must admit, the way Jim has laid it out with the cloud and that ongoing expense of almost $10,000, $9,000 bucks a year, that's a lot of money. And maybe we spin the wheel and we keep what we got. We update them and we drop the $44,000 and keep what we got. But we'll see.
And also, Scott, with all this, and it goes into our security system, is the big catchword, scalability. Lady used it today in one of my things. That's a problem with our security system.
Right.
We can't add anything to it. So we put this building out here. I can't put a camera out there.
Right.
I can't put a camera in our then into the parking lot for all whatever our senior cadets are going to do out there. And so the thing about it is that that the security system is something we have to go with. So that one I know a little bit more. And I'm waiting for one more bid. We should be good to go there.
Well, then, let's do this. So we don't bog down the board meetings too badly. Why don't you do for the August board? Why don't you do the security system brief and plan A, plan B, plan C, or the different options there? So we'll do security system in August, and if you can wait. Can we wait for doing phones in September?
I will tell you, I have to find out because the drop-dead date is August 21st.
And August 21st meaning that their bids are no longer valid or the quotes are no longer valid or what?
No, we just paid a temporary license, $5,000. I want to say, is this going to get us through the year? And he said, yes, but if your servers go, you have to buy new servers. So it was going to run out August 21st. So I had to go ahead and pay that $5,000 for the year for our phone systems because it was ready to go offline.
All right. So phone systems are alive for a full year.
Yes.
The issue is that after August 21st for the current phone systems, the warranty / repair work / whatever that the vendor will no longer honor, and it'll be cash on the barrel head if something goes wrong.
Correct.
After August 21st.
Correct. Now, they haven't gone down in 6 years. Let's just hope things keep going.
Did they communicate that? How long it would take to swap it out? Is that a week process? Is it a 2-day process? 2-week process? Any idea?
I don't know the answer.
All right. Let's do this.
I would not wait till September to make that call.
All right. So we're going to do then.
I'm sure the server's going to be fine, but in the off chance something does go wrong, you don't want to.
Yeah, I know. You know. I know.
If it's a 3-month process, we need to get moving on it sooner. But I know it's not going to be 3 months. But
all right, then, Pat, it looks like the August board meeting brief on both the plans, the multiple plans for both security and for phones.
Okay.
Got it. All right, very well. Next.
Hey, I'm going to skip over the COVID one for right now. A low enrollment policy. I wanted to share that with you only because it just came out and it was already a done deal. And I kind of gave you a brief description. I mean, that's just my answer. I wanted to see how it affects us. And I used the example of us in PCA. PCA, it doesn't affect. First Day Military Academy, it does. So it pretty much, their policy, we got 11 days to bring in, I think, 30 cadets. Or if they decide that they want to, they can put us on review. Which, and then PCA, they're not under that because they have more grades, so the percentages don't affect them like that.
All right, does everybody know kind of what we're talking about? This is a policy that DOE's put out. Pat put a three-pager together just describing kind of what happens under this policy for FSMA. And the issue really gets to the catch that the Department of Education and the Charter Office, that if we don't meet the numbers as prescribed in this low enrollment policy, that the charter school can put us under, if you will, review, that they can notice of concern. And the problem, of course, is that, just as Pat described, when you've got 7 grades to spread the numbers out over versus 4 grades to spread the numbers out, the chances of 7 grades and falling under this policy aren't very high. The chances of 4 grades and falling under this policy absolutely increases. So Pat has already sent a letter to the charter office explaining.
Talked
to them. He wanted to make sure we were aware of this. I don't think it's going to be an issue for us ever, but if the charter office or Department of Education was feeling frisky and had a particular issue with a particular school, they probably could find a way of getting that school captured under this particular enrollment policy. So he brings it to our attention for our understanding. I, again, don't think we're going to be faced with anything significant come December, but we may be having to write a letter from the board to DOE. We'll see how that goes. All right, questions or anything else on that, Pat? Okay, cool. All right, I'd like to go probably now in the executive session. We're going to talk about all the new teachers and all the new hires. If we can.
Dave, I'm going to have to put you in the waiting room.
All right, Dave, you all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, cool. We'll try to do this quick. All right, folks, do I have a motion to go into executive session?
Motion.
I've got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
All right. All in favor of the motion to go into executive session, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none. Thank you. We are now in executive session.